Let your Spirit come upon us. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may see your word clearly this morning, that it may move us and change us, for your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing both bone and marrow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Meditation this morning is on the gospel lesson. If you are paying attention, it's quite a sobering gospel. And I'd like to unpack a few things in this gospel lesson and what Jesus is getting at here and what even Luke is getting at. What was Luke's purpose in writing the gospel? And I think, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, as we're going through the gospel of Luke now in the ordinary times, Luke is writing to his friend Theophilus. And he's saying, I've investigated everything from eyewitnesses so that you may know the certainty of the things that I am writing. That we may know the certainty of Jesus Christ. Luke's a gospel of action. It's kind of like a fast action movie that keeps you on the edge of your seat. Luke presents Jesus' life from the announcement of his birth to his birth, his ministry on his earth to his death, his resurrection, and then his ascension. You got the whole thing there. It's like a Netflix series. You know, it's, I would say maybe, how many chapters? 21 seasons? Or 24 seasons? So Luke is trying to, in these narratives, is trying to tell us something that is written for us today, not just for the first century Christians. So let's unpack this a little bit. In today's gospel, Jesus appoints 72, or commissions 72 others. He sends them ahead of him to proclaim the kingdom of God. Because as if you read Luke chapter 9, that Jesus is on his way where? He's on his way to Jerusalem. And he doesn't go around the Jordan. He goes through Samaria. And the Samaritans were, they were disdained. They were like, we don't want to be around those people. So he's bringing his message to the people of Samaria and even to Gentiles who were in the area. And so by sending them out two by two, he's giving them a distinct mission. Like Jesus did in chapter 9, he sent the 12 disciples out to proclaim the kingdom of God to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now he's got 72. Now where these 72 came, we don't know. But they must have heard Jesus. They must have wanted to follow Jesus. And he's appointing them and sending them. You notice what Jesus says in verse 2. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord, or ask of the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Jesus uses so many metaphors in the Gospels. And he's using the metaphor of a plentiful harvest, meaning lost people in the world who need to hear the good news of Jesus coming, to who is bringing salvation to all people. Then once you go into the harvest and you bring people in and make disciples of them, then they also go out and harvest. You see how it grows exponentially. It's like when you put your money in a bank and interest, it grows. That's how God has built things into creation, to grow. So what we are out harvesting, we are harvesting people for Jesus, the good news of the gospel. He says, I'm sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. In other words, they were sending him out in Satan's domain in the darkness to be a light. They were preparing. They're going to receive rejection and persecution. Jesus told them, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Traveling light meant that they were to rely totally on God's provision and the provision to the people. They were to rely on the God-given hospitality when they visited the homes. He didn't want them being weighed down with extra things. And Jesus is telling them not to tell people not just about their faith, but let your listeners know about the lives that you live, how you live your lives. They were to meet the needs of other people just as Jesus did. That is to speak the word of God at the appropriate time and deal with their bodily and physically needs. And he says, when you enter a town, in verse 9, eat what's before you. Heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and go into it and they don't receive you, say, that's it. We're going to shake the dust off our sandals and we're going away. You've rejected the kingdom of God. But be rest assured the kingdom of God is here. Then Jesus pivots and he begins to upbraid the towns and cities. He's saying, woe, Chorazin, woe, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. It will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, and that's Capernaum is a place where Jesus did a lot of ministry, performed a lot of miracles. You think you will be exalted in heaven? No, no, no. You'll be brought down to hell. It will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. Wow. These are some sobering words from our Lord. And then the 72 returned from the mission. They were rejoicing that the evil spirits were subject to them in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. In other words, the evil in this world, the persecution, whatever comes at you as a Christian in the name of Jesus, over all the powers of the enemy, nothing shall hurt you. However, don't rejoice that the evil spirits are subject to you, but rather that your names are written in the book of life or in heaven. Man, what's going on here? Why is Luke recording this story? What does he want to get across to his readers? Well, as I studied this text and read it again and again, there's three takeaways in this I believe Luke wants to convey to us this morning. The first takeaway is there's a sense of urgency to share Jesus with others. In other words, time is running short and people need to hear the gospel message. The kingdom of God is here and now. The harvest is plentiful, meaning there's scores of people out there who are lost and need to hear the gospel message. People that you work with, people that you come in contact with, they don't know Jesus. And that without Jesus, we are all damned for eternity. That's not very popular in our postmodern culture today, where we think everybody is saved. Everybody determines what's right and what's wrong. No, that's not what Jesus said. That's not the truth. Sometimes you may feel, well, you know, I just am uncomfortable sharing my faith. I don't know enough about the Bible. You don't have to. You have Jesus in you. What I like to do is when I come in contact with people, even in casual conversations, I will say, sometime during the conversation, by the way, are you a person of faith? And that opens a whole door of talking about spiritual things, and it allows you then to share, say, well, this is what Jesus has done for me. I'm a Christian. That Jesus has forgiven my sins. I know my eternal destiny is settled. Do you know you can know that? And then just let the Holy Spirit do the rest. You can't convert anybody. I can't convert anybody. But God uses means, which are you and me, laborers in the harvest. Take that step. And I wonder, do we as a church have a sense of urgency about the things of God? Are our spiritual priorities to put God first in our lives, Or are we in some kind of spiritual slumber, taken away by the world's ways, the things of the flesh? I don't know about you, but I find myself that that's sometimes a real struggle. And that's why I need to be in the Word constantly. I need to be in prayer. Do we take God's Word seriously? Do lost people matter? Luke is telling us, folks, there's a sense of urgency. Time is running out. It's like when the Eagles are behind by a touchdown and there's only 30 seconds to go and they just get a first down. The clock is running. What do? Stand around and drink coffee or huddle up? No, they run up and they spike the ball. Why? So the clock can stop. They need to get the ball in the end zone. It's urgent. And that's the same thing with our faith. There's a spiritual sense of urgency to let people know that salvation hangs in the balance. And the kingdom of God is a present reality today. It's present right here and now this morning. The kingdom of God is that we are made right with God through grace and faith by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Salvation is a free gift. It's received by faith. As St. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Because of what God has done for us, we need as a church to have a sense of urgency for reaching the lost. Those in our community who don't know Jesus, it's so easy to take the lazy route, to go the other way. But sometimes we need to have that antenna up to pay attention to the needs of people around us. Jesus is saying, get to know the people that you're around through friendship with them. He's saying that let your faith make a difference. Let them see your witness, the gospel in action through every word, every action you do. And many times, brothers and sisters, actions speak louder than words. It's no different today than it was back in Jesus' time when he was rejected. Can you imagine how effective our witness would be if we said, well, God loves you and wants you in his family, but I'm not interested in knowing that your mom died last week or that you're unemployed and really find it hard to get a job or that your family member has been diagnosed with cancer. You see, there's also a sense of urgency for compassion and caring for the needs of others. Jesus says, along with the gospel of love, go the gospel of action. Our school here is an excellent front porch ministry, where we introduce children to know Jesus. And I see when I drive here in the morning, this parking lot is full. You can't find a place to park. And I often wonder, I wish this were Sunday. Wouldn't that be nice? But it could be. And that's why we as a church need to kind of take ownership for what's going on in the school, because that's a harvest, and it's plentiful. And there are a number of parents that bring their kids to school here because maybe they're disillusioned with the public school or for whatever, but they don't go to church. And I know, like last Sunday night, we had our first family night service, and it was cool. And we had people come that normally don't come on Sunday morning. See, that's the harvest is there, but we need more laborers. We need more people to help us. We're going to start doing that service once a month now. Maybe it'll turn into something that's once a week. Wouldn't that be nice? See, this is paying attention to the things in the kingdom of God. It's time to get involved. It's time to wake up. You and I have been commissioned just like the 72. Because how many people will die without Jesus? The second takeaway Luke wants to convey is that there will be a judgment. on the last day, as sure as you and I are sitting here this morning, as Jesus proclaimed woe to the cities that rejected him, so he proclaims woe to our culture today that rejects him. And isn't that where we are at in our culture today? People will suppress the truth, as Paul says in Romans. The wrath of God is revealed against all godliness, all unrighteousness of men who by their ignorance suppress the truth. The culture says today we are our own gods. We determine what's right and wrong. We become a law to ourselves. So truth is a matter of one's own preference. So it's okay to have an abortion. Or do you want to change your sex or marry someone of the same sex? Because if there's no truth, we determine what it is. But that's not the gospel message. That's not the truth of God. Notice the punishment for Capernaum, Jesus said, will be worse than that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because they rejected the Messiah, God's only means of salvation. So it's no different in our culture today. Those that reject Christ are under God's wrath and judgment. As Jesus said in John 3, whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Jesus. That's why there needs to be a sense of urgency in the church. We're not here to entertain ourselves or become a club. We're here to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for sharing your faith, because there will be a time when it's too late. Now is the time for us to spike the ball, stop the clock, and get into the end zone. Eternal destiny of people is serious business. The Bible says God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And Paul says, how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless someone is sent? Don't you realize that as the 72 were sent, you, as a baptized believer in Jesus, are sent? That's why we are here. Third takeaway Luke conveys to his hearers. Jesus said, and you notice how Jesus in the gospel kind of shifts and pivots to different things. He says, when the disciples came back and said, oh boy, look at the demons they're even subject to us. But he says, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. You and I are in a spiritual war. The moment you were baptized, Satan declared war on you and every Christian. But the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Satan is defeated by Jesus' death and resurrection and continues to fall like lightning every time you share your faith in Christ and every time the gospel is preached. And every time we reach out with compassion and care, Satan falls. Satan's power is limited. And every time we as a church lift up the name of Jesus and proclaim the gospel, which is the forgiveness of sins in Christ by his death and resurrection, Satan's grip on humanity is loosened. Jesus promises us protection from the evil one, especially while we are engaged in spiritual warfare. When we encounter hostile rejection and persecution for our faith, we need not fear. We have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And our names are written in heaven. Think about that for a minute. So why again is this story in the Bible? Well, as I was meditating on it again, one of the most sobering passages in Scripture to me is in Revelation chapter 20. Listen to what St. John says. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for him. Now catch this. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And each was judged according to what he had done. Then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Brothers and sisters, we can rejoice this morning that our names are written in the book of life because of what Jesus has done for us. But the harvest is still plentiful, yet the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. That means you and me. The time is now. Amen. Now may the peace of God.